Well, I got to say, it feels good to be back up here this morning, getting to share with all of you after being gone 2 weeks. But I know that while I was gone, you were in the care of some good hands. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Craig shared a great message about the love of Christ as he kind of wrapped up our Christmas series right before Christmas. And then last week, Teacher Sheila, who's now back downstairs again this morning, came up here to Adult Church, and she shared just a great word on vision and seeing things through the right eyes, seeing things through God's eyes. And I have to say that it really is a blessing to be able to go away, to spend some time with my family, with my wife's family, and know that my family here is still in good hands, that they're being taken care of. As a matter of fact, last Sunday, as I was somewhere on a ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, a reminder popped up on my phone telling me that church was going to start in 30 minutes. And I got to tell you, with the wedding, with the cruise, I had actually kind of lost. I didn't even know what day it was. That alone is a testament to the great leadership we have here at this church. The fact that I can kind of forget about things and I don't have to worry about stuff while I'm gone, that I know you're in good hands. Although I do have to say, if I have to watch anyone while I'm gone, it might be Kirk. He seems to be the wild one when I'm away. I hear things, Mr. Kirk. You may not know we record the entire service, and so I was listening to it. But the truth is, I actually loved it, man. I was laughing so hard, and I'm thinking I might need to have Kirk do announcements more often, because those announcements were quite entertaining. As I'm listening, I'm just laughing, you know. I'm sure my family in the other room, I pulled them off the computer here when we were in Florida, and I'm sure my family's like, what is he laughing at in there? And I was laughing at Kirk's announcements. But anyways, I want to thank everyone, you too, Kirk. I want to help everyone who made things run so smoothly while I was gone. But now this morning, I want to dive into God's Word. And as I was thinking and praying about what the Lord would have me share as we kind of kicked off the new year, can you believe it's 2020, right? I mean, it just seems like yesterday we were worried about Y2K, you know, and now it's 2020. It's kind of crazy. But as I was praying about today, the Lord led me to some scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about the new year. And with the new year comes the age-old tradition of New Year's resolutions, right? That time every year where people start making their lists of things that are that they're going to do or change in the year to come, how they're going to be better. It's kind of an idea of a fresh new start, the opportunity to be a better, new and improved you, right? But the problem with New Year's resolutions is that most people rarely keep them. Most people rarely follow through with New Year's resolutions. It's generally after maybe a few months or a few weeks, a few days, maybe even a few hours for some of us, right? We decide that, you know what, let's just stick with the old self. The old us isn't that bad after all. Which, honestly, if you think about it, is basically a nice way of saying change is difficult. Right? I'm used to doing things this way. To do it this way, that's hard. And the truth is, we don't know if we want to put forth the effort to do what it takes to actually see those changes in our life. And the sad but true reality is that this is often the same struggle that we go through when it comes to living the lives God has called us to live, to being who God is who God desires us to be. We want to be the man or woman that God desires us to be, but we're not sure we want to put in the work and the effort that it's going to take for us to really get to that place. Now, Last week, when Teacher Sheila spoke, the title of her message was 2020 Vision, Seeing Through the Right Eyes. And so I decided to play off that 2020 vision idea again this morning. And I titled my message, 2020 Vision, Seeing True Change. And talking about true change in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at some scriptures that challenge us to change, that challenge us to put off the old self and to really put on the new that God desires us to live. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to read Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. This is what the scriptures say to us this morning. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are all full of greed. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now, Paul starts off here in these scriptures talking about the immoral lives of the Gentiles, the lives that these Gentiles lived, and how their hardened hearts have made them ignorant to the ways of the Lord. But then in verse 20, Paul says this, "You, however," speaking to believers, speaking to Christians, "you, however, did not come to know Christ that way." Now, I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this scripture, verse 20, in the Message. I want to share it with you. Listen to how he says it. He says this. He says, "But that's no life for you. You learned Christ." In other words, you learned from Jesus himself. And when you look at his life, you see that his life was different. He lived life differently than the world lived life. And verse 21 goes on to say, "Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." Paul here, in a sense, is saying that you are followers of Christ. Are you not? You learned through him. You learn the way of Christ. And as followers of Christ, your lives should be different. You see, when people look at the life of a believer, the life of a Christian, the truth is their life should be different than that of non-believers or that of a person that isn't a Christian. Paul says you were taught in him. And the word taught, it implies this level of learning or this knowledge that we acquire. We all should be learning more about the Lord and the life that he lived, the example that he set for us. That's why we read the Word. That's why we open up the Bible. That's why it's important that we look through this, that we read through this and allow it to speak to us. That's why we gather here on Sunday mornings to worship and to hear the Word. That's why we attend the men's and women's studies or other Bible studies that are out there so that we can learn and grow in the Lord. That's why I listen to podcasts. I listen to Mark Patterson and these great preachers so that we can grow and learn in the Lord. And Paul is pointing out the fact that if we've learned anything about following Jesus, if we've grown at all in our understanding of Christ, then our lives as believers should look different than the lives of non-believers. John Calvin actually says it this way. He says, He whose life differs not from that of unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ. My translation, if we're still living the way we lived before we became a Christian, then we've really learned nothing about following Jesus. Because our lives should look different. And in these scriptures, Paul goes on to tell the Ephesians what it is that they've been taught. He begins to lay out for them this blueprint of how to live the way God desires them to live. And I want to talk about this morning. Paul actually points out three things that they were taught, three ways to see true change in our lives. That's what I want to talk about. And it starts with this. Number one, we must put off our old self. In verse 22, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You see, the first thing that we must do as believers, as we come to know Jesus, is we have to shed the old life. Now, the picture here that Paul paints is literally this picture of taking off your dirty old clothes. Now, I remember when I was young, we lived out in the country. We lived out in areas that were swampy and creeks and little things all around our house. And I remember I would go out and play in the rain and in the creeks, and I would just get all muddy and disgusting and gross, right? It's what young boys do. But when I came home, my mom would make me on the front porch strip down to my underwear before I came into her house. I had to literally take off my dirty clothes and throw them aside so that I could go and get clean and not track mud through my mom's house. And one of the ways that we do this in life, one of the ways that we get rid of the old, is through something called repentance. It's coming to the realization that we're sinners. That we have all fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And the fact is we need a Savior. And because of that, we repent. We confess our sins to the Lord so that He can forgive us and help us move forward. Romans 6:6 says this. I think I have it to go up on the screen. It says, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The truth is, we often allow ourselves to be slaves to our own sin and failures time and time again. We allow shame and guilt to enslave us, to hold us back in our relationship with the Lord. But we're told that by Paul, that the old self was crucified with Christ. We no longer need to be a slave to it. The truth is we need to get rid of it. We need to put it off. We need to put off the old self, as Paul says. But like I said earlier, it's hard, and sometimes we hold on to the old self. We want the new. I want to live this new life, but there are parts of the old that, well, I kind of like some of those things, and we want to hold on to those things. We don't want to let go. I'm wondering, are there any self-proclaimed hoarders in this room? Hoarders. You hoard things. You keep things. You hold on to things. Your house stacks up with stuff, right? I know I've done a little bit of hoarding at times in my life. My wife has done some hoarding with me as well. Okay, I'm not just taking this on my own, honey. But it's something that we've got better in over the years. It's something that we've been working on. But we realized early on that we pass some of those tendencies on to our kids. Our daughter, especially, and I won't even look that way. I told her, I said, I got to tell this story because it totally goes with what I'm saying. She hates when I talk about her. I love her to death. Most of you know my beautiful daughter, Emma, but she's what I would call a bit of a collector. She has been since she was young. And we discovered how much of a collector she was at probably about the age of 2 or 3 when we lived in Newburgh. This little girl, she loved to collect anything and everything. She didn't like to throw anything away. She would save papers and things and drawings and stuff that she did, and then stuff that maybe she didn't even need that wasn't hers. She would collect it and take it. And in Newburgh, we had given Emma her own little drawer in the kitchen. And the purpose of this drawer was she had these cute little, you know, fake dishes and things and teacups and stuff that she could use. And the idea was that that's your little drawer. And when you want to pretend like you're cooking with mom, you can pull those things out and play with mom in the kitchen as she's making things and doing stuff. And so that was the purpose of that drawer. But one day we opened the drawer and it was full of these little rolled up newspapers. And these weren't the full size newspapers. These are those little, I've got them a few times here in Dallas, but in Newburgh, every single week you would get this little tiny roll of ads that would come in a little bag and it would just be thrown on your driveway. And, you know, normally if I saw them, I would just pick it up and go throw it in the garbage, right? But half the time I didn't see them, and I didn't know why I didn't see them anymore. And that's because we opened this door and it's full. There must have been like 50 or more of those rolls just piled up in there, you know. And it's like, what are these? Asking them, they're my newspapers I'm collecting. And so she held on to these things. She didn't use the drawer for what she was supposed to. She loved collecting things. Another little story. A little while later after we moved to Dallas, Stacy was cleaning up the bathroom that Toby and Emma use and share. And in the bottom of one of the cupboards, pushed to the back, but all stacked up, was this huge collection of toilet paper rolls. And here's the thing. Emma put them under there because she's a very crafty little girl. She loves to do crafts. She loves to make things, you know. And she had used some of those at one time to do a project in school. And so she knew she could use those in her craft projects and stuff. But she had way more toilet paper rolls than she was ever going to use in a craft project, okay? And, I mean, this thing was just full of toilet paper rolls. She just loved to collect things. It didn't matter what it was. Newspapers, toilet paper rolls, stuffed animals, you name it. As a matter of fact, there was a time when she had so many stuffed animals. This little girl could save money like you wouldn't believe, right? She just saved her money, wouldn't spend it unless there was something. But most often, it was like, stuffed animal. Okay, I'm going to spend my money on that. And she kept getting more and more stuffed animals. And finally, we came to that point where we said, okay, wait, girly, I know this is your money, and I know you want to spend on stuffed animals, but our house can only take so many stuffed animals. So if you want to buy a new stuffed animal, before you buy a new stuffed animal, you need to think about the fact that you need to get rid of a stuffed animal. If you buy 2 stuffed animals, you got to get rid of 2 stuffed animals. You buy 1, you got to get rid, you know, you got to start getting rid. And we started limiting the amount of stuffed animals. And so, but she hated it. She hated the fact that she couldn't just keep adding on to it. And I love my little girl. I'm not saying any of this to embarrass her because I was the same way. We hoarded things and we passed this on to her. But I share this illustration of her collecting things because I really think it's a great picture of all of us in some way or another. We don't want to get rid of things. We hold on to things that we shouldn't because we're afraid what? We're afraid, well, I might miss them. I might need them at some time in my life. I might not be able to live without them down the road. But the truth is we'll never truly live until we get rid of those things that hold us back in our relationship with the Lord. Because as long as we have it, as long as we hold on to it, we'll be a slave to it. Paul knows this, and that is why he's telling them, put off the old self. Get rid of those things that are from your old life so that you can begin to move on. If we want to see true change in our lives over this next year, I think we must learn to put off the old self. And then we have to do the second thing, which is this. We must be made new in our minds. In verse 23, it says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. And when I read verse 23, I can't help but think of Romans 12:2, which I have to go up on the screen. But I think most of us know this scripture, are familiar with this scripture. It says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed. You see, once we come to the realization that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord, we need to repent and shed the old, like I said. But what is it that really makes us any different? What is shedding the old? How does that make us different? I've confessed my sins, but how am I going to stop living the way that I've been living up to this point? And I think as we come to the realization that we're sinners, we then begin to understand the consequences that sin actually have on our lives. We begin to realize that our thought process needs to change and our minds need to be made new in Christ. Why? So that I no longer think like the world thinks. So that I no longer process and live like the world processes and lives. But instead, I begin to think and process in the ways of Christ. And I begin to grow in my understanding and knowledge of His Word and His truth. This kind of change, this kind of transformation can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. You see, when we give our lives fully to Jesus and allow Him access, allow the Holy Spirit access, it allows Him to transform us by the renewing of our minds. It enables the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to change us from the inside out. Because here's the thing, a lot of times we try to do this backwards. We try to do things. Let me explain. Verse 24 actually gives us the third thing we need to learn here. It says, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the third thing we learn from Paul here is this. We must put on the new self. And I've come to understand this as the point of living it out. Living our life in Christ. The new self, it's that outward expression of the inward change that is taking place in and through our lives. It's living out and fulfilling the mission that God has for each of us. But here's what I was saying about the fact that I think a lot of times we do things backwards. I think a lot of times we put on the appearance of a new self. Oh, look, I'm good, right? We show up here to church. Look, everything's good. Life is good. Don't go and see what happened in my car with my wife on the way here as we were screaming and yelling at each other because I was ready to leave honking my horn and she wouldn't get her butt out in the car. Oh, wait, that's something that happened like 25 years ago with me and my wife. Right. You know, you go through those things. See, let me teach you a little example of how not to fight with your wife on your way to church. Drive in separate vehicles. Ever since I got into full-time ministry and I had to be to church early, Stacy and I never fight on Sundays. It's awesome. You know, it took me learning that. But right, you know, oftentimes, right, we put on this appearance of the new self. We act like at church, look, yeah, we got her all together. But in reality, right, what do we just come from? What was our attitude before we walked in the door? All of a sudden, we walk in the door and it goes from, hi, everybody. Look, we're good. We're hand in hand. Can't feel that heat coming from her like I can, but we're good, right? We often get it backwards. We put on this appearance of the new self, but on the inside, has anything changed? Is there change happening? If you've been around here at all, you've heard me share about my own life growing up. I was the kind of kid that wanted to please my parents. And the truth is, I was good at giving this appearance of having it all together, of being the good little boy, right? Everyone thought I was this perfect little church kid. My youth pastors, they adored me. My pastors adored me. I mean, let's just be honest. Everybody adored me. I was just this perfect, wonderful kid, right? I mean, I'm joking a little bit, but it's kind of true. I mean, I had all the girls' parents in my youth group wanted me to date their daughter. Like, why can't you find someone like Darren? Look at Darren, you know. But here's the thing. They thought this and they thought I was great. They thought I looked perfect, but it's because they were seeing this facade on the outside. In reality, on the inside, I wasn't that person that everybody thought I was. I was struggling with secret sins and failures that I did when no one else was around. And though I wanted to be the person that everybody was seeing on the outside, though I wanted to live differently, on the inside I was failing to see real change in my life. Every weekend I was doing the same things, and the guilt that came over me every time on Sunday morning in the midst of worship, going, man, God, why do I keep failing? Why do I look like this? My life was really a facade. It was a lie. I was trying to put on this appearance of a new life, but I wasn't allowing the Lord to change me from the inside out, which is what I believe led to my big fall in the Marine Corps when I crashed and burned pretty hard. You see, for us to truly see change in our lives, it takes willingness to walk through all the steps. Putting off the old self. Saying goodbye to the things of this world. Now, does that mean that we're never going to sin again? That we're not going to make mistakes? No. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. God knows that. That's why He died on the cross for our sins. But it's doing our best to give up those things. It's doing our best to keep seeking Him, to keep coming back to Him, and to asking Him to change our lives. It's seeking to say goodbye to the things that continue to pull us down and keep us from living the life that God has really called us to live. It's putting off the old, and then it's allowing God to make our minds new and allowing Him to change us. Not this fake facade that we change ourselves. No, it's allowing Him to change us from the inside out. It's giving the Holy Spirit access to our life and allowing Him to come in and do that difficult work that none of us want to do. And it's because it's challenging. It's hard. I've had conversations with many different people as a pastor about the Holy Spirit. Wait, what? How does that work? That sounds weird to me. And it's a hard thing at times to grasp this idea of the Holy Spirit, because it takes faith. It takes faith and trust to believe that God, the Holy Spirit, actually lives in us. What are you talking about? You know, right in the world, if we heard someone else talk about someone living in them, we'd get a little freaked out, right? It sounds weird to say that somebody comes and lives in us. It's hard to trust and believe that that's true. But here's the thing, when we do have that faith and trust in what His Word says, the fact that He has given us His Holy Spirit, something supernatural happens. And God is able to begin to transform our lives from the inside out, where true change begins to happen. And then we can know with confidence that we haven't just put on this facade, but that we've truly put on the new self, and that we're beginning to see true change take place in our lives. And so as we step into this new year known as 2020, as we think about what lies ahead, my encouragement to all of us this morning is that we don't make a bunch of New Year's resolutions that you know you're not going to keep. My encouragement, though, is that we'll seek true change. We'll seek for true change to happen in our lives as we continue to put off the old. And sometimes, you know, we put it off and then we go back and we put it back on, right? And we take it on, you know, we dig a hole and we bury it. Stomp it down, and then we go, wait a second, and we dig it back up, and we pull it out, and we try to shake it off and put it back on, and we continue to do that. But my encouragement for you this year is to, with all your heart to seek the Lord, because we cannot do it in our own strength. But to allow the power of the Spirit to allow you to throw those things off and to not keep looking back, to not keep going back to those things that you continue to go back to, but to seek to live the life that God has called you to live and to see true change happen in your life in 2020. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new year. Your word tells us, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Every morning, your mercies are new, Lord. And as we start this new year, as we look towards 2020, we thank you that, Lord, we have a fresh start. That we can begin to live the life that you've called us to live, that we can continue to throw off the old and put on the new. And that's my prayer for each of us as we head into this new year, Lord. That we would shed the old, that we'd keep throwing it off. When we fail, that we'd seek forgiveness, that we'd repent, give it back to you, and keep moving forward, keep growing and learning, Lord, how to live the life that you've called us to live, allowing your Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. And Lord, in that, I know this. I know that change doesn't just happen overnight. Yeah, there are things and times in our life where you can do the miraculous and you can take something away that maybe has held us back. But ultimately, Lord, it takes hard work and it takes effort. Those things that sometimes we struggle to do when it comes to the New Year's resolutions and those kinds of things. But Lord, we don't want to be people who don't live the life you've called us to live because it's too hard. You've given us the Holy Spirit to overcome hard and difficult things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, so we can be and live and do the things that you've called us to be and live and do because of the power of your Spirit that lives in us. And I pray that this year we will draw upon the power of your Spirit in our lives more than we ever have, to allow you to change us from the inside out, that there would be evidence, that we would see fruit, that we would see life, Lord, that we would see change happening in each of us, Lord, because of what you're doing in and through us. And so, Lord, allow us to shed the old, to put on the new, and to truly this year do our best to live the lives that you've called us to live, to do the hard and the difficult things, Lord, to say no, to keep stomping on those things in the ground that keep trying to rise up and come back, Lord, but that we would walk away and keep shedding and keep seeking you, Lord. And so we give you 2020, Lord. I just pray your hand upon this year. May it be one of our best years yet, as we seek to grow in you and allow you to change us from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our past behind us. And the truth is, we can't change our past, Lord. So help us not to dwell on our past, to focus or to worry about our past. The past is gone. But we can now move forward. We can now begin to live the life that you've called us to live. We cannot change the past. We can change the future. And so help us in this next year to change our future, Lord, to live the life that you've called us to live and to see true change in all of our lives. We thank you and we praise you for these things. We give them to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.